AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump is cooperating with the FBI now as it continues looking into his attempted assassination. Special Agent in Charge, Kevin Rojack.
We have contacted former President Trump, and he has agreed to participate in a victim interview.
The agency still doesn't have a motive for the shooting. The Associated Press updated its information and now reports two people have died and nine people were injured in today's stabbing spree in England. Nick Garrett with the BBC.
I spoke to a nurse who said that she came down after her daughter heard what she described as a blood-curdling scream.
A 17-year-old's been arrested for the attacks. And new restrictions took effect today on abortions in Iowa. State Senate Minority Leader Pam Jokum opposes them.
The threat is there to actually do something to make IVF more difficult for Iowans to access, as well as contraception care. So this is just the beginning.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 100 Wisconsin local governments have applied for a sum of $300 million in federal COVID stimulus money. The Flexible Facility Program aims to connect libraries and other public buildings to the Internet. Awards will be announced by October. Democratic Party delegates start voting this week to formally nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to be their nominee for president. Senator Tammy Baldwin is pushing back on the suggestion that President Biden was pushed aside by big donors and party elites.
Just average people were coming up, and they so respect the work that Joe Biden has done. But they were conveying to me that they appreciate his work, and they asked him to step aside.
Baldwin speaking on WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. We've all heard it's not safe to leave kids or pets in a vehicle, even with the windows cracked. A Safe Kids and Injury Prevention Coordinator with Aspirus Health says that a car can become dangerously hot very quickly. Cracking a window doesn't lower the temperature in a vehicle very much, and children are more susceptible to heat stroke.
Kids' body temperatures raise 3 to 5 times faster than adults.
She says that we can prevent these deaths and near misses by remembering to act. The acronym ACT stands for A, avoid injury and death by never leaving a child alone in a car. C, create reminders to check the back of your car before leaving it. And T, take action. If you see a child alone in a car, call 911. At least 10 children have already died so far this year because of heat stroke. A roller derby multi-game event heads to Stevens Point. Held at the KB Whitlett Ice Arena, doors open at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI.
Jordan Love on his record-breaking contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL in Green Bay, the Packers held practice in pads as training camp enters its second week. Jordan Love completing a 47-yard pass to Christian Watson on his first day back after signing a contract making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history. Love told me the talks began back in May. I asked him what was it like when he didn't have a deal at the start of camp.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been the waiting game these past couple of days. I'm just trying to be patient. But knowing that it was going to get done here soon. But yeah, I mean, right after we got done, you know, my agents FaceTimed me and gave me the news and broke to me. So it was a very special day hearing that and just going through the whole motions of, you know, obviously getting a contract, being able to be here, and then just obviously being able to get back on the field with the guys. So it was definitely a very special day.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Atlanta Braves. Colin Ray on the mound for Milwaukee. Devin Williams back as the closer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 84.
The president ends his reelection campaign.
And the civic media team led by Todd Albaugh and Terry Bell brings you the breaking news.
After days, if not weeks, of advice to pull out of his reelection campaign.
President Biden releasing this letter, quote, I believe it is in the best interest for me to stand down.
Real news and great conversation.
You can count on it on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We're having a party!
And you're invited!
It's happening in the WFHR parking lot.
And it's Wednesday, August 14th from 12 to 6 p.m.
We're going to have food trucks and giveaways and face painting.
Balloon animals, WFHR merch, music requests, and much, much more.
We'll host the party, play your music requests, and all you need to do is show up.
On Wednesday, August 14th, noon to 6 p.m. in our parking lot.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us here across the Civic Media Network. Always happy to be here on the Civic Media Network. Happy to be filling in for Maggie Dawn today, broadcasting live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Always makes me happy to be back in downtown Waukesha. I am a child of Waukesha County. I grew up in the schools in Pewaukee and churches around Brookfield and baseball fields all over this great county here. So it's always good to be back. It brings back good memories of spending time in high school, downtown Waukesha, going to Jimmy's Grotto or playing an open mic night,
that
stuff like
so
that.
Good. That pizza's so good.
Oh, I know. It's the best. It's so tempting to, every time I come down here, I try to organize a Jimmy's Grotto stop around, and I knew I couldn't come before the show today because I would just be knocked out for the show.
Yeah, you can't do that after lunch.
No, you can't have plans for after Jimmy's Grotto. Jimmy's Grotto is the last part of your plans. If any of you are fans, feel free to call or text the show here. We've got 855-75-CIVIC. You can call the show 855-752-4842. Again, I am Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host for this afternoon. I'll be here with you for the next couple hours. If any of you are unfamiliar with me and my work, I'm a regular here on a number of shows on the Civic Media Network. I am on every Friday to recombobulate with Jane and Greg on Matt and Air on Air. I'll come in, join every once in a while on the Todd Alba show. And occasionally we'll jump in as a guest host here as well. So my main work, of course, is at the Recombobulation Area. I am the founder of the weekly opinion column and online publication, the Recombobulation Area. We publish on Substack. We've had just an extraordinarily busy stretch at the Recombobulation Area. Dare I say it's a little bit discombobulating, Brian, the stretch that we've had at the Recombobulation Area lately.
That old Lennon quote keeps coming up a lot. We've gone through a decade in a couple of weeks.
We sure have. It's been very discombobulating. I think back to, you know, where we were a month ago, just a couple days after the infamous debate that changed the entire presidential election campaign. And less than a month ago, I was in Madison for Joe Biden's rally at middle school there. And then I was at the RNC in my home city of Milwaukee, spending about, I don't know, 14, 16 hours a day at the RNC, broadcasting with the good folks here at Civic Media on a number of occasions as well. That was quite a week. And then last week I was at the first campaign rally for the presumptive Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, last week.
That was
in West Dallas.
Less than a week ago.
That was less than a week ago. And then there was also, you know, our former President Donald Trump survived an assassination attempt. That also happened.
Oh, yeah.
What a month. What a decade this month has been for us. And with Wisconsin and Milwaukee right at the center of it all.
Yeah, right here.
I think we all need a little bit of a break here. But it's the Wisconsin political news cycle. Breaks do not exist here.
Only for the legislature.
Only for the Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature, who do occasionally like to take the extended break. Maybe they're taking one right now. But I think we will also be talking a bit about the legislature on the show today as we look ahead here. One of the things I noticed in the political calendar that we've got ahead of us is that we have voting for the August partisan primary starts as early as tomorrow. So we've had this, we've had this incredibly discombobulating news cycle over the past few weeks. And now we are looking right ahead to the August partisan primary, August 13th. There are a number of races up and down the ballot that are going to be especially interesting. Even though we don't have, kind of a high profile statewide primary. So we have there's no gubernatorial race. All the state elected officers are not up in this particular cycle. The race for Senate is a little bit different in that, Eric Hovde does not face a top line challenger for the Republican nomination there. So it seems like he is headed to a pretty clear victory in that one. But we've got a number of congressional races that will have important primaries, the third congressional race, see who's going to be running against Derek Van Orden is going to be a really interesting one. And then in the 8th district to see who will be the Republican running against Kristen Lierley to take Mike Gallagher's seat. That's going to be a really interesting one. Statewide, we have a couple of constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot. First time in state history that we will have a question to amend the state constitution on an August partisan primary ballot. So that is certainly one to be paying attention to. But we also have new maps in the state of Wisconsin. We have new maps in the Assembly and in the Senate. And we are facing an environment now with these new maps where there are far more contested primaries than we have had in more than a decade. So according to research from John D. Johnson of Marquette University, he has broken down, just the number of contested primaries that there are in the state of Wisconsin in the 2024 election cycle. And this is the highest number of contested primaries that we have had since 2012. And so be sure when, early voting starts tomorrow, early in-person absentee voting starts in the state of Wisconsin tomorrow. So head on over to myvote.wi.gov to take a look at that. And we one of the races that we're going to be focusing on in the show today is in the 14th Assembly District. So the new 14th Assembly District, the current 14th Assembly District representative is Democrat Robin Vining. She is actually drawn into the 13th now. She represents Wauwatosa, and she's drawn in with another Republican. So that one kind of pairs two incumbents, making the 14th an open seat. And this is a Democratic-leaning seat. So one of the big questions going into this is who will be the Democratic candidate on the top of the ticket? West Allis is kind of the main city for this district. And so less than a week ago, I was in West Allis for Kamala Harris's rally. This is a really politically important part of the Milwaukee suburbs. It does have kind of a blue collar background in West Allis, but like so many other, inner ring suburbs in and around Milwaukee, trending left, trending towards Democrats in a really significant way. And under previous maps, West Allis had really been carved up by the legislature You know, I think it was in the 2012 gerrymander that they passed, that the Republicans passed, you know, cut this community of about 60,000 people into three different assembly districts and at least two different Senate districts. So a lot of change happening there. But now it is a district that is a little bit more focused specifically around the city of West Dallas. And I think some of the issues that we're going to be seeing in this race are really important to statewide races, really important to, you know, any statewide races that's important in the state of Wisconsin is going to be important for the national political landscape as well. So we're going to be talking to a number of candidates here. And the first one we're going to be talking to is Nathan Kiso, and he is going to be joining us in just a few moments here to talk about his campaign, talk about what's going on here. Brian, do we have Nathan on the line ready to go?
We do indeed. Nathan, say hello to the people of Wisconsin.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I saw you were up north, Dan, and what part of the state were you in? I love getting up to Shawamigan, Nicolet, or Copper Falls, all those.
You're right. I did spend a weekend up in the deep north, up in the up north, very far north, north of Minocqua. So when people ask me if like, oh, are you really going up north, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we're north of Minocqua, kind of close to Boulder Junction. One of my college buddies has a cabin up there. So after this discombobulating month, I was so looking forward to that weekend, spending a little time out of the city and away from my phone for a little while.
I hope to do that after August 13th as well.
So Nathan, you are running for assembly in the 14th Assembly District. Tell me a little bit about your background personally and why you chose to make a run for this seat this year.
Well, I'm a mental health social worker, union leader, and a member of Congregation Shir Hadash. My wife and I, we own a little white and blue bungalow off of National Avenue. I also work in the district as a residential facility for men with severe and persistent mental health diagnoses. In my career and in my activism, I regularly see many injustices. Neighbors who have to choose between food and rent, working people who are unable to afford health insurance, and people struggling with opioid addiction who can't find treatment programs. I've done a lot of work on the ground to address these issues, but people need action from the state. I want to bring the caring ethos of a social worker and the fighting spirit of a union organizer to this job, and that's why I'm running to represent the 14th Assembly District.
That's wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing that about your background. So the mental health has been a big part of your career. Where do you see some of the, you know, challenges on that particular issue and going forward and how that, you know, shapes your campaign? And just for our listeners, we do have a break coming up in a couple minutes here. We're hoping you can join us after that break as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've worked my entire career in healthcare. Starting out in group homes, then, you know, my first union job as a sterile processing tech at a hospital. But really in West Dallas, one of the things that impacts us the most is really the opioid epidemic. People are unable to find treatment programs because there are too few workers, there's too few beds, there just really isn't enough in the state. And so things I want to do to address that are, for one, expand Badger Care. There's thousands of working people who can't get on private health insurance because it's too expensive and can't get on public assistance because they make too much money. These are working people who are trying to improve their lives. And so I'd want to recruit and retain more staff to do that by, you know, raising the minimum wage, getting it so that there's wage pass-through laws that put money directly into direct care workers' pockets. And, you know, basically...
All right, Mr. Kiso, we got to go to a break right now, but we will continue.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your guest host for the afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us. We were just joined for a couple of minutes before the break there with our first guest of the show. We're talking a little bit about the Democratic primary for the race for the 14th Assembly District. We are just over 2 weeks away from that August partisan primary. We have more competitive primaries for Assembly and Senate candidates than we've had in more than a decade in the state of Wisconsin. And I think this one is a particularly interesting race. West Allis is kind of the main city for this particular Assembly district. And, you know, as we saw last week, it's a pretty important city if the vice president is going to go there for her first official campaign rally of the presidential campaign cycle. So we are joined for this first segment here by Nathan Kiso, who is one of the candidates running for the Democratic primary here. He was sharing a little bit about his background before the break. I want to take a step back and look a little bit big picture on this race. You know, what are some of the issues that you see, you know, really standing out when you're talking to voters on the doors when you're campaigning in the new 14th district here for this Assembly race?
So, I mean, like I was saying earlier, and especially relevant to my experience, is really people who keep talking about healthcare. It's a perennial subject. Back to that, you know, people need healthcare, people need coverage. But aside from that, people are very interested in what's going on with public education. The vast majority of people I talk to are upset about, charter schools, about vouchers and privatization. So I stand really against privatization. That's why I'm endorsed by WEAC, by Missy Zombor, at-large member of the MPS board, and Megan O'Halloran, District 8 on the board, and also Bob Peterson, former MTEA president and former president of the MPS board. Also, Amy Deal, vice president of the WAWM school district board. So people are upset, rightfully, about how often property taxes go up during referenda. Of course, I support them because we need to get the services we need, the repairs needed to be done to our schools. But I don't think that's the way we should have to fund our schools. The revenue sharing for the schools, I mean, what the pupil revenue limits are, you know, originally set by Governor Doyle, Thompson, years ago. And so we need to change how we fund schools. Using property taxes inherently creates unequal districts. If you have a rich district, you have a rich school board, you have a rich school system. If you have a poor district, same thing. If you have a poor school district. And so, we shouldn't have to rely on those property taxes, but, you know, I'm supporting these referenda until we, you know, are able to fix our schools and we are able to change the funding formula. That also goes with all of our services here in Milwaukee County. The municipalities and the county, we're all disadvantaged by that. We pay far more into the state pool than the rest of the state, and we get a far smaller share back. And so I want to fix the revenue sharing formula so we don't have to do a Band-Aid every few years that, you know, rarely addresses all of the issues that we have.
We're talking with Nathan Kiso. He is one of the candidates for the Democratic primary running for the 14th Assembly District. He is joining us here today, as will two of the other candidates running for this particular seat. So, you know, obviously, the three of you who are running, who are going to be joining the show today, are you're all Democrats. So what differentiates you from some of the other candidates running in this race?
I'd say, you know, one of the very big things is my involvement in the labor union. I serve on the Milwaukee Area Labor Council Executive Board. I'm an Ask Me steward. I have the endorsements of Ask Me, SEIU, Teachers Union, Machinists, Painters, and the Auto Workers. I'm looking forward to more. But also that lifelong experience in working in healthcare. I think these are things that matter a lot to the people in the district, having a, you know, it, like you said earlier, often still a blue collar district. So people care about having, you know, good family supporting jobs. And that's really where I come from. I come from the labor movement, and those are, you know, part of our utmost priorities. So I think I'm uniquely experienced in the healthcare sector. You know, as a social worker, we get a lot of, we're able to observe the policy aspects of it, and I get to see the worst shortfalls of that. And I think that experience makes me uniquely qualified for it as well.
We're talking with Nathan Kiso. He is one of the candidates for 14th Assembly District. The election for that is just over 2 weeks away. So what are you planning now with this final stretch here before August 13th when you get to the polls? What are in your plans for the next 2 weeks here? Are you going to be sprinting alongside the rest of the candidates running here?
So like I said, I've got a background as a union organizer, so I'm doing doors every day. Saturday was my first day off the doors in weeks, but I spent the morning training volunteers and everything. So I'm doing everything, sending out mailers, digital social ads, but really my time is spent on the doors. That's where I'm best equipped and what I'm doing every day.
And I think this seat is really interesting because, like you know, we mentioned that Kamala Harris was in West Dallas last week. But I think this is also, you know, it reflects a change in Milwaukee County, because I think, you know, this 14th district, this was, so under the old maps, this was one that was flipped by State Representative Robin Vining. She was the first person to flip a district from red to blue under Robin Voss's maps. And now with new maps comes new opportunity. So what was it, you know, what was it, the new maps that was, you know, motivated you to kind of get off the to jump in this race, or to what extent was that, you know, a factor in your decision?
When I heard about the new maps, I was happy. I think we deserve representative democracy in Wisconsin that we've sorely lacked. But it originally, I didn't think much of it beyond that's a great thing. It took some prodding for me. I was encouraged by labor leaders and friends, and after long consideration, I chose to run. So I mean, originally a reluctant candidate, but like I said, I, you know, see injustices every day in my activism and in my career. So it made it apparent to me that we need action from the state, and that's what I want to accomplish.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I think this is, you know, when I pull up the results on August 13th that evening, this will certainly be one of the races that I will be focused on in learning the results. So best of luck in this final stretch, the last 2 weeks, and thanks again for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, stick with us. We'll be right back with more here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Heavy rains across Wisconsin have significantly impacted bug populations. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you with the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday. There's an insect in particular that can wreak havoc in both farm fields and your home garden. We'll talk about it next.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Wisconsin's state entomologist PJ Leash says that with the heavy rains that we've seen this spring and summer, he has seen more earwigs. These insects can be problematic for both farmers and gardeners.
A few things stand out to me that I've been seeing some issues with, both in crop fields, but also in home gardens and in ornamental plantings and yards, so flowers and trees and shrubs and things like that. And a couple of things that stand out to me would be some pests like earwigs, which are mostly active after dark, and they can chew notches in leaves. And so if you are a farmer or a gardener and you look at your plants and you can't figure out what's causing the damage, one suggestion I have been throwing out there to folks is head out after dark with a flashlight or a headlamp, because earwigs can cause damage after dark.
PJ Leash is Wisconsin's state entomologist. He's also known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one, 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
Well, it's official. The first grant recipients for the Agricultural Road Improvement Program have been named, and the money is on its way out. $50 million is going to help rebuild local roads that carry nearly 11 billion pounds of agricultural goods every year. Wisconsin Farm Bureau President Brad Olson says a farmer's largest hurdle to getting products to market is often the road at the end of their driveway. These grants can help remedy those problems. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation got applications for five times the amount of available funding. Wisconsin Farm Bureau encourages growers and local governments who didn't get funding in this round to apply for another $100 million that will become available this fall. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 84.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
When you need HVAC attention, call in the home run hitters at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. They've been knocking it out of the park for more than 20 years, covering all things home comfort. Whether you need your air conditioning tuned up or replaced altogether, their Bryant experts will always do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Need to set up an appointment? Schedule yours today at comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears in your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
to the Maggie Don Show. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just missed our last segment before the break here, we had an interview with Nathan Kiso, who is one of the three Democratic candidates running for the 14th Assembly District. We will also be joined by two other candidates running in that primary as well, Brady Couthard and Angelito Tenorio. Pardon me if I bungled the pronunciation on that for any of those names and all names that I may say now, past, in the future. I apologize for all mispronunciations.
You know what?
Blanket apology there.
You know what? For anyone who has been harmed by Dan's mispronunciation, I do have to say I misspelled his name while setting it up today. So we're all in a top notch.
We're Monday all doing morning. Great. We're recombobulating on a Monday.
That's
Ryan.
The point.
That's right. We needed to, you know, it's been a discombobulating month, and it's now is a good time to recombobulate as any. So if you are unfamiliar with me and my work at the recombobulation area, you can go check us out at the recombobulation area.news. Make sure to have the at the very beginning there, the recombobulation area.news. We've published just a ton of content over the last couple of weeks from my coverage of the RNC, my coverage of Kamala Harris's rally in West Allis just last week. So there's just a lot going on, a lot to recombobulate with. And now we're starting to turn some of our attention ahead to the August primary, because we are getting much closer than you might realize to get going to the polls and casting ballots once again. So I think the one statewide race, or the statewide vote, that a lot of people are paying close attention to with this particular primary is a vote on amending the state constitution. Now, this is something that we published a longer piece on at the recombobulation area from Marquette University political science professor Phil Rocco, who's a regular contributor at the recombobulation area. And the piece is called "In August, Wisconsin Will Vote on Amending the State Constitution. The Stakes Are High." And also, it is also the first time in the history of the state of Wisconsin that constitutional amendments will be on the August primary ballot. There was actually an event earlier, a press conference in Madison earlier today, where Governor Tony Evers and Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler spoke at a press conference and are encouraging voters to vote no in that on both of those questions. So there are two questions that will be on the ballot. Statewide, Democrats are encouraging people to vote no. You know, this is a case where, you know, we elect a governor to govern. So that governor should have the power to govern, I think. And if you don't like the way he's governing, well, you know what? There's an election every 4 years and you can vote him out. That, of course, didn't happen in 2022 after Governor Evers doled out a whole lot of federal funding during the COVID-19 pandemic. And basically what these amendments would do would kind of change the way the dynamic is between federal and state government, and require that the legislature also be part of the process, or kind of take the reins of the process in a lot of ways for using these federal funds. So if you know, let's say, just as, a hypothetical here, if the legislature during a moment of genuine crisis were to take a nearly 300-day break from passing any bills, if you like that and want that type of governing to continue in the state of Wisconsin, then maybe vote yes. But if you want the governor to be able to govern, regardless of which party that governor might be from, maybe you vote no on this one, because I don't think we should be amending the state constitution anytime Republicans don't get their way in the legislature. I don't think we should be amending the state constitution in low turnout August partisan primaries, where not everybody might be voting for, you know, let's say a Republican candidate for Senate or assembly, Democratic candidates for assembly. Not everybody has that on a statewide ballot. I think this is really, the questions are worded in a really confusing way.
They're worded weirdly.
I feel like it's so intentional.
Well, yeah, clearly.
I think it's deliberately confusing. And the track record for these constitutional amendments, we saw one, you know, just a few months ago in the April race as well. I think the track record for this is, more often than not, they do pass. because they're worded in a way where people might just say yes to the question presented in front of them.
Yeah, they'll read. Let me reread that again. What is this? Yeah. Okay, what? I got to move on and say yes or no and just say no, because this is, it was fine for Scott Walker.
Right.
They had no problem when Scott Walker was had that same power. It totally fine. Oh, it's because they didn't like the COVID funding and they wanted to have their hands in it. Could you imagine the gridlock between the two parties, but between the legislature and the governor? Obviously half of our funds are still held up anyway because of this, but more funds will be held up because of this and nothing will actually end up getting done.
Right. It just seems like an amendment that like encourages gridlock. We already have enough gridlock in the system for the way things work in the state of Wisconsin, especially in this era of divided government where we have a Democratic governor, we have a Republican state legislature, Republican-controlled state legislature. So it just seems like, you know, we're baking in further gridlock, baking in further inaction.
And for emergency funding. Like, the whole point of emergency funding is you need it now, so it's streamlined. So that's why the governor has the control.
Right. And it's not entirely clear who would control the process if these amendments were to pass. And so we don't know if it would be, like, for example, the Joint Finance Committee in the state legislature. That committee will often obstruct under Republican control, will obstruct all kinds of different things, will take votes in the dead of night to make important decisions on the budget. So it's just giving more power to this one committee in the legislature. Brian, do we have a call on the line?
We have we have Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line.
Mark from Prairie du Sac, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And you've been pointing out what occurs to me is that the language of these amendments should not be structured in any way other than exactly the way it is going to appear in our Constitution, exactly the exact wording, because otherwise it's up to, you know, some kind of interpretation that we the citizens are intelligent enough to decide what is actually in our Constitution. And this the deceptive methods that they're using here, as you have pointed out, is that it's confusing language. The language should be pure, it should be clear and simple. I mean, it's one of the things I saw recently when, you know, going through that there's actually a copy of the Federalist Papers translated into modern language. I go, what kind of nonsense is that? Because then you can just put it whatever you want in and say, well, this is what it says. It doesn't really mean what the founders actually said when they wrote what Hamilton, Madison, and Jay actually said when they wrote the Federalist Papers, that you can twist it whatever way you want to, because the language in the Federalist Papers is not that confusing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. I think the confusion here, I think, is baked in, and it, so many of these decisions are about these types of different amendments and all that. You know, it just seems like there's going to be lawyers no matter what, right? There's going to be some sort of challenge to some of this at some point, and it just seems like, you know, certain lawyers on the right who like to just play Calvin ball with any kind of decision that may come through.
I like that Calvin ball.
And just make up their own rules to the game if anything doesn't go their way. And I think this particular amendment seems to have stemmed out of Governor Evers, you know, shepherding of COVID era funds. You know, and one of the things that happened under Governor Evers' leadership was that he steered many of those COVID era funds, those ARPA fundings that was passed in the early days of Joe Biden's administration, towards economic development. I believe there's a chart out there that shows that Wisconsin spent more of its ARPA dollars on economic development than any other state here. Brian, do we have one more call here to join us before the break?
Tom from McFarland, you're on the air. What's going on, man?
Welcome, Tom.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I think this whole amendment just speaks to what I've always said, is that the Republicans are great at politics, whereas the Democrats are great at governance. Like you said, the misconstrued language within the amendment, I think that even within this show, I think you're going too deep and too far into the weeds. And unfortunately, your average Wisconsin citizen, they don't really care about going into the weeds. We need to be just as versed at messaging as the Republicans are. So I wish the Democrats would just simply call this the gridlock amendment and just start messaging it that way, because that's all this is to ratify gridlock. So if you want gridlock, vote for this amendment.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom. I think that's a great point. It is. You do need a simple, elegant argument on these types of things that are especially confusing. And I think it is important to get into the weeds. And, you know, anybody who reads the Recombobulation Era knows I love to get into the weeds on a certain issue. But you're right. We do need, you know, just kind of a simple argument that is able to crystallize what these amendments are and would do. And I think gridlock is a great way to focus that, because, you know, that's what this would do. This would codify gridlock in the Wisconsin state legislature. So I'll be voting no on those amendments. I think you guys should be voting no on them as well. If we need to make a change, there's other ways to make a change without having to amend the state constitution at this certain time. In that piece we ran at the Recombobulation Area, Phil Rocco pointed out just the number of voters who will participate in an August primary is not especially high. You know, we had, a record high a couple years ago, 2022, when there was, you know, both primaries on the right and the left during the midterms there, whether it was, you know, the gubernatorial campaign with Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish, or kind of the lingering fallout of the Senate race there as well. But I think the high watermark for turnout there was only in like the low 20%. So we're still, you know, looking at a remarkably low number of voters who are going to make a decision on amending the state constitution. And it is, like our last caller said, it's a pro gridlock amendment.
Ultimately. It seems to be exactly what the Republicans want, is very few people making the decisions for a lot of other people.
Isn't that right? I mean, it is symbolic in a certain sense, right? About how Republicans like to kind of govern with minority rule in a lot of ways. We've seen that, so many examples of that here in the state of Wisconsin over the past few years with the legislature and how deeply gerrymandered it has been. So I'm not sure if it's going to be in the next segment, but at some point over the next few minutes here, our next guest is a little tied up in traffic. Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is going to be joining us. How that will be is a little bit TBD, but they have a big event happening, Get Out the Vote Day of Action, happening in the city of Milwaukee tomorrow on the first day of early voting. And if you want to find out where you could vote early, it's very simple. I just did it myself right on myvote.wi.gov. You punch in your address and it'll tell you where you can early vote. So I live in the city of Milwaukee, punched in my address. I found out that one of the libraries close to my house, I could go vote tomorrow and get it all taken care of, get it out of the way. Don't have to deal with anything on election day. So I encourage you all to do the same. Voting early, absentee, in person, definitely the way to go. I would
also
recommend.
Make sure you are registered, because I know few people who have been purged in the meantime.
That's right. You got to make sure. It's great that Wisconsin has same day registration. It's also great to be prepared. So when you go to the polls, you have that information, so you don't show up there, find out you were, you know, had been off the voter rolls and had to come back and this and that and whatever. So it's good to be prepared in these types of situations. Again, tomorrow is when early voting starts for the August primary. I'll be voting no on the constitutional amendments that are on the statewide ballot. But we've got a whole lot else happening up and down the ballot, depending on what community you're in. You might have a partisan primary for the assembly for the first time in a long time. So take a look. See what's on your ballot. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Dan Schaefer. I am guest hosting for Maggie Dawn today. We've got a lot more planned for you coming up next after the break and in the 3 o'clock hour. So stick with us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a national scenic trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Dream high in the quiet of the night, you know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, son.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you for joining us, and thank Brian for playing a little T-Swift. Bring us back from the break. I have two young daughters, and I just spent the weekend with them, and so I have heard a whole lot of Taylor Swift in the car driving up north. It's just almost like just having something comfortable in the background to play at this point for me. I'm kind of agnostic when it comes to Taylor Swift, but my daughters love her. So if they love her, then I love her too.
That's kind of how it works for me.
And, yeah.
But also she's really good.
That's true. There's also that.
She's really good at stuff and singing that. And making music. And I can't wait till she endorses Kamala and the whole world blows up.
Oh, you think that's going to be a big deal?
Yeah, well, a little bit.
You think the most popular person on the planet right now endorsing a presidential candidate might be a big deal?
I think she actually might, though, in this case, just because.
Yeah. Well, I'll have that one circled on a potential news event that we'll be looking ahead to over the next few months.
I'm just seeing, like, the end of, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark with Republicans going, not T-Swift! The Swifties are going to come get us!
I'm sure the discourse around that will be super normal,
yeah,
and
totally
not
good.
At all super bizarre like so many of the other
I just want to hear John Kennedy say something about it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we have a lot planned for you in the 3 o'clock hour. I think Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign will be joining us after 3 o'clock as well. We will also have interviews with two of the other candidates running in the Democratic primary for the new 14th Assembly District. Which is a pretty fascinating race if you look at the whole landscape of what's going on in the state. Anyone who is familiar with the recombobulation area, you may know that I do a crazy preview of every race on the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. So I'm starting to get recombobulated there, starting to get some work done, taking a look ahead to what some of the big races are going to be. This is going to be an election unlike any other that we've seen in the state of Wisconsin for the Wisconsin State Legislature, because we have new maps, because we are going to have a significantly greater number of competitive elections. And West Allis is one of those places where that's going to happen. So the new 14th district encompasses a lot of the city of West Allis, which was, you know, kind of carved into a number of different districts to kind of limit the political power of this, you know, increasingly blue city in Milwaukee County. So we'll be talking to the two candidates from there as well during the 3 o'clock hour. We'll also be taking your calls here. And I believe we have a call on the line, Brian.
We have John from Boaz.
John, welcome to the show.
Hi. This is the greatest radio show ever, and it beats the Devil's Advocate, that's for sure, by at least 10%. What I'd like to say is that if we look at the history of Donald Trump and versus Kamala Harris now, because Joe Biden is retired, Donald Trump did not do a very good job in 2018 and 2016 when our military, and this is the Central Intelligence Agency and the striking force that was, they had three targets in Iran that they wanted to blast, and they were recommending to Trump. But Trump got cold feet, and he kiboshed the whole thing. So he cannot be the executive,
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people have a lot of concerns about Donald Trump for many different reasons. One of them, foreign policy. That's, you know, and Commander-in-Chief, you're making a lot of those types of decisions. So it's going to be important to make an informed decision on that topic for the presidential election this fall.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the guy that would do the things that are mostly... After going to Helsinki and, you know, dismissing the interpreter, so it was just him and Putin just shooting the breeze and talking about stuff like two guys do, and then he comes out and he says, well, even though our entire intelligence apparatus says, hey, this is what happened, I trust Putin. He looked him in his eyes, right in the eyes. So
he seems to have a lot more affection for authoritarian leaders than really any other American president.
That's
in
true.
Our lifetimes.
He likes Erdogan. Erdogan's pretty nice for him, huh?
Yeah, and he talks about how much he's buddies with Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Did you hear their little diss? Donald Trump said something like, oh, they're going to miss me, and North Korea responded with, we don't care.
It's just, you know, these sentences that you end up saying in the Donald Trump era. He wants to be friends with Kim Jong-un, but it's just bizarre. We are, of course, taking your calls during the show as well. So if you'd like to join us, join the conversation here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation that we're having here today. Again, my name is Dan Schaefer, and I'm guest hosting for Maggie Dawn here on the Civic Media Network. We're talking a little bit about what's coming on the August primary, but we can kind of go in any direction here today. There's a whole lot going on. We've had just the most discombobulating month for a news cycle that I can remember in a long time. So even if we're looking ahead to what's coming, we've got the Wisconsin's partisan primary coming up on August 13th. Be sure to know what's on your ballot for that one. We're going to have an announcement for who Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate will be. So if you have any thoughts on that, you know, that's been a hot topic over the last week, certainly as well. I know our governor to the west, Tim Walz, has been kind of rising, at least in my Twitter algorithm, at least is piping in a whole lot of Tim Walz related content.
Wow,
how about you,
really?
Ray? Yeah.
I like him. I like Walz a lot. He had a lot of good things to say. He's had a lot of good moments, and I don't think he's necessarily too. He's, you know, kind of right down the middle there. You know,
I think there's a lot to like about a potential Tim Walz.
But the good thing is, there's so many
nominee.
People that would work,
and that's the thing. There's a lot of great options. I think Andy Beshear is a good option. I think there's a number of people. So if you have thoughts on, we can kind of take calls on this throughout the show. But if you have thoughts on who you think might be best as Kamala Harris's running mate in this election, give us a call to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Stick with us for the 3 o'clock hour of the show. We got a lot planned for you. My name is Dan Schaefer, filling in for Maggie Dawn.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about efforts to protect the farm and land conservation programs Republicans are hell-bent on slashing.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.